So, well done. One of the things that's amazing to me is seeing people, God's people, get together on a common vision, a common purpose, and what can be done. This year is just the beginning of that. This is just the beginning of a great year of that happening. A couple of things that happens from here now. First of all is we're still finishing up kind of putting the books together. And then when that's done, we're going to submit the loan package to the banks for the refinance to occur. Randy said last service that we needed an appraisal of $650,000 on those property. So be praying for that to go through. And that's probably the last little area we need God to really move so that the refinance can go forward. So keep that in your prayers. One other thing I'll mention real quick is that money that we have in excess is intended to help with the refi, help with the potential of moving to new property, God willing, this year sometime, however he guides that. We don't want that money to be sucked back into operations. So please keep your giving coming. Don't let that be a kind of take you out of giving. Keep your giving coming so we don't have to draw into that fund that we raised so successfully last year for this property. Thank you again so much for that. Other good news is Wes is here. Wes stepped down off of the lead team in the end of summer. And he did that because felt God was calling him to really put his heart and energy and focus into Fruit Bearers. And it has been amazing seeing what God's been doing in and through him and that ministry as he's gone forward. So that's been awesome to see. But that's left a little hole in our lead team. We've been praying about that for a while, how God would have us fill that leadership position that's vacant on the lead team. And hard to do in our own strength because there's so many people out here that are amazing, have tremendous gifts and talents that would be used there. But we wanted God's specific guidance in this area. So we prayed about that and felt God calling us to extend an offer to Travis Remick to join the lead team. He prayed about it and has agreed to join our team, our leadership team. So that's awesome. And before I have him stand up and let his face be seen for those that don't know him, let's talk a little bit about who Travis is. Well, he and his wife, Chris, have been part of our adventure family for 5 years. Two kids. I'm going to mess it up again. I don't know why I'm having a blank on this. It's Mackenzie and Zachary, the kids. And Travis has been involved with men's and mentoring. He brings a tremendous faithfulness to the call of God in his life, tremendous integrity and wisdom. So we are blessed to have him joining us on the leadership team of Adventure. And being willing to serve in that regard. Now, that's a challenge. There's a lot that comes against all ministry leaders and those on leadership. So I would ask Travis to stand up if you're here and wave at everybody. Travis, hey, welcome aboard. Keep standing. A little different this today. What we're going to do now is spend a little time praying for him, okay? So I would ask you all to just kind of stretch your hands out toward Travis and join me in praying for him. Lord, we thank you for the heart of service you've given Travis, that you delight in him, that you've called him to be part of leading this body at this season, this time. And Lord, we ask your anointing on him. We ask your blessings on him. We ask your favor on him as he steps into this area of service. And Lord, we ask your protection over him and his family as he has a bullseye on him right now for stepping in this place of leadership. And we ask your protection over him. And we ask that you release your angels to watch over him, his home, and his household. In Jesus' name, amen. And shameless plug for all of us on leadership, all of us in ministry leadership and lead team, we need your prayers. As you go through your daily prayers, please hold us up in prayer. We desperately need it as we are seeking God's discernment, wisdom, leadership for this body. Thank you.
Mike. Morning, gang. If you're new, I'm Randy, one of the leaders as well here. Although, this thinks I'm Jeff Hansen. And so that's okay. But Just a couple more thoughts. One of the things is we have the chronological read-through. This is a year in the Bible for our church. We are reading through Scripture, and we are memorizing it as a church body. There's 100 of you that have joined the Bravo Company. You're reading through the Bible chronologically, and you're memorizing 52 passages of Scripture specifically designed to make you a hellraiser, and which is what our job is. And so just want to let you know, there are laminated copies back there by the offering basket of the first page of memory verses. So this will get you through half the year, and so or over half the year, and then we're going to make new ones in the summer for the rest of the passages. But this is a great thing to stick on your wall in the bathroom, in the shower, right? And waterproof now, and you can work on it in the shower or in the car while you're driving. And so so there's that. Also, there's a new team that just registration opened for Charlie team, and that's for elementary. And we had the elementary, we have the Alpha team, which is read through chronologically, Bravo team, read through chronologically and memorize a verse a week on warfare. And then now we have Charlie team, which is elementary kids, and they've got their own set of verses. I think it's 24, 26 verses they're memorizing, and they're reading through the Bible as well. You have to register online, though, if you want to enjoy the celebration at the end. And so go on our website, which is adventureduval.com or adventurecommunitychurch.com, and make sure you register. Community groups kick off this week. Go online, look at those community groups, pick one, join it. There's three kinds of groups: activity groups, just having fun together, getting to know people; growth groups, be challenged and pushed into in for spiritual growth; and then missions groups. There's a lot of groups that are going places, mission trips and things like that. You have to go and register online on those groups for the leader of the group to get your information, to call you or give you, hey, we're meeting at this place. There's been a change. It's snow. It's canceled. So make sure you register online for those. And also, there's a team going to the Philippines, and they are going to go build a sound booth, an audiology clinic down there in the Philippines for kids, for the Fruit Bearers Ministry. But Chris Bell is organizing sewing new dresses for the little girls in the villages that they're going to go work with. And so if you're into that, if you've already talked to her, she said, people have talked to me, and I don't remember who, said they want to sew. So if that's you, make sure you contact Chris Bell. I don't have a number here. How can you do this? Fill out a card and say, Chris Bell, Philippines, make sure we connect, and she'll connect with you. So you have a card in your deal, a communication card. So if your plan, if you've already been sewing dresses, she doesn't know it. So let her know. And so that's it. God has told us to build an army, raise up an army to take down the kingdom of darkness. That's our mission. And so we're talking about it. And last week we kind of talked about 101 Warfare 101. And this week we're going to kind of do a little bit more 101 at the beginning, and then we're going to start rolling into 201, a little bit more dangerous territory, okay? So let's pray, and then I want to show you, we're going to look at a clip to get us thinking. This is from Two Towers. Again, it's actually part of the clip that you saw last week, but I cut this part out last week so I could show it to you this week. So the clip you saw last week with them releasing, Gandalf releasing Theoden, this was a part of that, and I snipped it out, so we're gonna catch up. So Jesus, come. Would you come? Lord, would you walk right now down these aisles? Would you place your hand on your sons and daughters right now, your bride, your army, this vast army that you're raising up and filling with your spirit, according to Ezekiel 37. Lord, would you bring your heart, your fierce warrior heart, into us right now? Lord, bring your love, your tenderness. Lord, you fight for us. We bring this meeting, this conversation, this morning under the kingdom rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We call forth his kingdom in this place, and we forbid the kingdom of darkness to have any root, any place, any foul spirit, anything that set itself against all distraction, fog, doubt, fear, any of that. We forbid it now. We command it to leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, come for your sons and daughters. Educate us, awaken us, enliven us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's roll this and talk about it in a second. Okay, so what about that scene? What are some observations you have about spiritual warfare watching that scene? What can you learn, huh? Satan comes, he speaks these lies, right? He's walking around, or who knows what, you know, what you've done in the bitter watches of the night, right? Yeah. What else? He attacks when you're vulnerable. Her brother just died. She's distraught, in pain, and he's like kicking her when she's down. But did you notice the sort of, so pale, sort of this kind of almost like a comforting thing going on too? Yeah. Now I can give you what you need. Yeah. Let me comfort you. Did you get the sense watching that she had been there before? She's listened to this guy before? You do, don't you? Why? I mean, you look at that, and I think that's Tolkien's point. You look at that and you go, ew, why would she even be listening? Why? I mean, I wouldn't give that guy 5 seconds. And she's just, you know, got this. You know, she's, you know what I mean? Why is she listening? Okay, well, he's been after her for a while. Yeah? You don't see. Yeah, my thought instantly was, well, it's become normal. She's used to him around. They've tolerated him being around. It's just normal. He's there. He lives. It's like a mangy foul dog that, you know, just lives in the house and everybody's used to it and the house stinks. But you know, hey, we don't really do anything about it because, you know, it's just normal. You know, that's how it is. And And that's how warfare works. See, in your story, it's like the stuff the enemy has had on you or has been whispering to you, it's historic. A lot of it's historic. It was begun and spoken long ago, and until it's broken, it still has power. Until it's broken, it's still imposed. The message, and until you turn and say, "That's poison," and you walk away, it just gets to be imposed. We need to, agreements we have with Satan. Last week we talked about the primary tactic of Satan is he makes a suggestion, and he's looking for an agreement with it. And, you know, that last week I showed you that wicked picture, you know. He's looking for the handshake, and what I want to say about that this week is some of those agreements that we make, many of the agreements are historic. And we need to find and renounce historic agreements. How? How do you find old agreements? How do you find old historic agreements? Ask God. That's a great one. Jesus, would you reveal any historic agreements that are still over me? That are still, I'm still believing, I'm still living under. Good. Good. What else? You have a reaction out of proportion with the situation, right? Suddenly you feel this anger or this fear or anxiety that just doesn't seem to fit the situation, right? Pay attention to the reactions in you that are different from how Jesus would react. John 14:30, Jesus said, "The prince of darkness has nothing in me." You know what he's saying? He's saying he has no paradigms, no lines of thinking that he has imposed, that I've taken up and let in. He has nothing in me. And the internal world of Jesus Christ is the map, it's the pattern for your internal world. Your internal world is meant to match the internal world of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus wouldn't let it in, Jesus wouldn't let this fear in, or this anger in, or this anxiety, or this cynicism, or this lust, or this question about sexual orientation, you know, this wrestling match that's going on, if he would not allow it in, then you don't have to allow it in. You can shut it down. And so, but when they come up, when those things come up, a really great, important question is, Jesus, where's this coming from? Is there something historic going on here? Back in mid-December, I had mentioned to you guys that I was wrestling with this whole battle internally about I don't have any friends. Real friends. Does anybody here remember that? A few of you? Some of you. Bless your hearts. I mean, I don't know how many of you came up to me and just said, "Randy, I want you to know that I am your friend." And thank you. Yes, you are. I am... And honestly, that is, it's absolutely false. I have wonderful, really good friends, and I know that. And many of you are just beautiful friendships. But that whole thing, was Jesus allowing this? Jesus was using this feeling of friendlessness to bring up to the surface a historic agreement that I hadn't gotten rid of, that I hadn't broken. And so with me, he started the conversation one day with, "Randy, let's, you know, how are you feeling about your friendships?" And I started going through my friendships kind of one by one and dismissing them. "Well, so yeah, he's my friend, but he doesn't really have time for me." And then this other person, I began self-sabotaging. You ever do that? This person, you know, is like, "Yeah, but I mean, are they my friend really? Are they just my friend because of what I do for them?" You know what I mean? And I'm negating. And then what ushered in from that was this deep sense of being alone. Just alone. I was fighting. "You are alone." I mean, worm tongue was right there. You know, and I'm, "You are." You ever fight worm tongue? "You are alone. You don't have anyone that really cares about you. No real friends." This is movie, and it's real stuff. We deal with that. And so I was there, and I was in the middle of that deep sense of aloneness that felt really painful. And instead of letting it take me out, I've learned when that kind of stuff comes in, I kind of treat it half true and half like, maybe this isn't really me. Maybe there's warfare involved. So I invited Jesus into it. Jesus, come into this pain. And I've learned to pay attention when I invite Jesus in, like Doug mentioned, invite God to tell me. I've learned to ask, you know, what's the first thing that comes to my mind when I do that? And instantly when I invited Jesus in, the first thing that came to my mind was about 11 years old, lived in Merced, California, and there was Daniel and Mike, and they were best buddies, and they had mini bikes. And I went over to their house, and I really wanted to break into that friendship, mostly because I really wanted to ride mini bikes, but I wanted a friend. And I'm like, dude, you know, can I come hang out with you guys? No. And I remember being so alone in the neighborhood, really working to try to find friendships. And then, boom, like I was about in that thought that long, and then the next thought was junior high. I was a part of affirmative action, and they bused me across town to Tenaya Middle School. And for some reason, Mike and Daniel, who lived across the street, they went to the cool school 5 blocks that way. But I was bused 3 miles away, I'm sorry, I just got distracted because the snow was like really coming down, which is awesome. So here I am, you know, it's like I'm at junior high. I totally took you out, I'm sorry. I'm at junior high, and I just remember just walking around junior high and no friends. Junior high was hell for me. I was just alone. But I had thought those through. I invited the Lord into those before, and I didn't feel like this was it. And then, boom, my brother Russell, who was 2 years older than I was my best buddy. And when I was in junior high, right in the middle of all that, he had a fight with my mom, and he decided to go live with my dad in Fresno. Because my mom and dad were divorced. And I was left alone with my mom for the next 5 years. And I feel it right now. That root of alone, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm feeling this pain, and I'm like, and the Lord's like, yeah, Randy, your friends' hearts toward you are actually really, really good. Those guys are fond of you, they love you. I'm like, yes, Lord, I know that. I know that's really true. And then he said, this is historic. This started way back here, and it took root, and you agreed with it. And then, and knowing that wasn't enough, though, I'm like, Jesus, I'm feeling this, though, and I need help. What do you want to say to me? And here's what he said. And I shared some of this with you in December, but it was Randy, I want to be your friend. I love your friendship. And I'm like, yeah, really? Okay, that's a nice thing for you to say, but what do you really like about my friendship? And then he was like, that you love to play poker. And that you love being competitive, and that you're the guy that will do the prank on somebody. And he's just going through these things about me that I didn't expect him to say. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he just was saying, Randy, I enjoy my friendship with you. I love it. And he said, frankly, and he said this to me before, but it always blows me away. And he said, Randy, I don't have that many friends. Does that make sense that God would say he doesn't have very many friends? Because who pursues God for him? Just for him. Because they just enjoy him. Not very many people. Most of us are after him for what he's going to give us. And that love, just loving him, is more rare. And so I'm like, somehow all this wound or whatever it was, this historic agreement was just healed. And this whole sense of being alone and this whole sense of friendlessness was just gone. And it was like I was rejoicing in my friendships and different, you know, it was just gone. See, some of our agreements are historic, and Jesus' kindness wants to come in. He wants to set you free from that stuff. He wants to get that territory back from the kingdom of darkness. As long as it's allowed to live in you, it's kingdom of darkness in you. As long as those kinds of paradigms, those kinds of lines of thinking are allowed to live, hear me, look up here, as long as those lines of thinking are allowed to live up here, in here, it's kingdom of darkness up here, and in here. That's where that's from. those things did not get told you by your father. Some agreements are historic, some agreements are current. There's some things always being elicited by the enemy of you. He's trying to get you to, you know, Jesus again saying, the Prince of Darkness has nothing in me. The Prince of Darkness is always trying to get something in you. And so I asked the Lord this week, you know, Lord, what are our people showing up on this Sunday? What's being elicited to them? What's the enemy putting on a tray in front of you right now? And he told me three things, and you can tell me if any of these fit, but he said this. He said, Randy, many are coming with a walking sense of diminishment. You are behind. You'll never catch up. This is for the elite and not for you. Okay? If that describes you, or what you feel like, yeah, that's on the table. I see that. He's offering that to me. Renounce it. Reject it. Break it. No, this is for me. No, I can beat this stuff. Another one is this. You will fail. You've tried this whole being wholehearted thing before, and Satan ate your lunch. So stick to the back trails and don't go head on. Stay in the background. Go with avoidance. If that's being handed to you, if that's being offered, you need to break it. Renounce it. Reject it. Replace it with the truth. No. I am empowered to take on the King of the Darkness. And then the last one was this. And this might have been the most powerful, I thought, the enemy's approach. Hopelessness with Jesus coming through for you. Others, yes, but Jesus isn't really coming for you these days. That's an offer on the table that Satan wants to give you. Have you seen that one? Have you heard that one? He's not really coming for you these days. If that's being offered, reject it. Always ask, what's dwelling inside of me that Jesus would not allow in him for 5 seconds? Okay, what lines of thinking, what paradigms would Jesus not allow in him? So, for instance, you have lunch with Ted, and Ted says, well, that's just the way things go. Somewhere in the conversation. And then you say, yeah, I suppose. Like, in what context would Jesus ever say, well, that's just the way things go? Can you imagine him saying that? But where would Jesus give in to that kind of resignation? If it doesn't dwell in the mind of Jesus, then, and it wouldn't dwell in the mind of Jesus for 5 seconds, then that's your cue. That's your, like, it's Kingdom of Darkness. Okay? And where would Jesus say, well, I suppose? Both ends of that conversation stink of darkness, right? So if Jesus were in the conversation with Ted, and Ted said, well, that's just the way things go, what would he do to bring the Kingdom of God into the Kingdom of Darkness? What might he say? What would you say? Huh? Why do you think that? Why do you think that's just the way things go? Good. Then bring up some conversation, help them get to the root. Good. What else might Jesus do to bring the Kingdom of God into the Kingdom of Darkness? That's our mission, right? That's his mission. Can you speak truth? Maybe he would say, hey, it doesn't always have to go that way. Right? Just a simple phrase of resignation. At home, at work, with your friends, do people sometimes speak out phrases about that are coming from the Kingdom of Darkness? In your world? Yeah, I mean, I was talking to a gal this week. He was like, it's like there's this, my boss, it's like every word that comes out of his mouth is pouring out death. I mean, have you ever been with somebody like that? I mean, good night, just spewing death. Yeah. Yeah. Your internal world is meant to match the internal world of Jesus. All strongholds begin as lines of thinking. Jesus said, or Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the thought patterns of the kingdom of darkness, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Renewing your mind. Transformation starts with arresting illegal ways of thinking. Putting them in jail. Wait, that wouldn't exist in the mind of Jesus. I'm not going to let it exist in my mind. Satan has nothing in me. Okay, so we're going to talk about, that's kind of the 101, completion of 101 stuff. Now we're going to talk about dealing with demons and foul spirits and dealing with the kingdom of darkness. So how to do that. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1. I just want to start off by looking at how Jesus lived. Beginning of the book, Jesus starts out, right? Things kick off, beginning of the story, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, verse 10. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." Affirmation of his Father. At once, it says, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. So the thing just kicks off. I mean, the very beginning of the story, boom, we're being introduced to a world and a world view. Right? He gets affirmed by his Father. Immediately, he faces spiritual warfare. And then if you just page down, go to verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. That's, you can speak with that same authority. Just then, a man in the synagogue, in their synagogue, who was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out. Just then, a man in their synagogue. I think this is a guy who was normally at church. You know? Man is in their synagogue, cries out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have you come? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So Jesus, you know, goes into the, yeah, encouraged by, you know, affirmed by his Father, "You're my Son, who I love." Goes, has it out with Satan. Starts his ministry. Immediately, there's this guy interrupts in the synagogue, in the meeting. Imagine somebody standing up right now. You know, just going after it from demonically, you know, imposed. And so, you know, the opposition hits right off the bat. Notice Jesus commands him sternly. He doesn't say, "Come on out, buddy." He's like, you're done. Stern, strong, that's an important word there. Okay, so just keep going. Verse 32, just a little few more paragraphs down. That evening, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let demons speak because they knew who he was. Again, not even out of chapter 1, people, and we're being introduced to the biblical worldview. David Jeremiah, a current author and a great pastor, has wrote a book called I Never Thought I'd See the Day, and it's all about spiritual warfare. And he said that there is a new surge in overt demonic activity in the United States, so much so that the Catholic Church right now is doing emergency training of their priests in exorcism, because they've never seen this kind of onslaught of demonization, demon possession, which I kind of think is like great. where something's getting stirred up. Maybe that's why God's telling us it's time for us to raise an army to take back territory from the kingdom of darkness. Okay, we'll just flip the page here, go to chapter 3, and verse 10, Jesus, after he healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him, whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. So we've got these words, sternly, strictly. Jesus brought a level of intensity in dealing with the demonic and dealing with foul spirits, and you're going to need to as well. There's a level of intensity you need to bring to it. Demons are fallen angels, according to Revelation 12. They are rebellious spirits. They're pretty twisted up and freaked out in their own apparatus. It's a little bit like dealing with sort of escapees from the insane asylum. You know, they are not necessarily rational. You don't reason with them. You have to make them go. And it's an authority situation. Sometimes you got to kind of bulldoze them. A few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we had this men's boot camp down in Lake Retreat Center, down by Auburn. And one of the practices we have when we do a retreat is we have a group of intercessors, a group of men, for the men's ones at least, and the gals do it too, but they go from room to room and they spend like 10, 15 minutes in each room. And they're like, "Lord, what's here? Is there anything residing here from an old camp, any demonic thing left?" And they'll go and they'll pray, "Lord, this guy's going to be in here. We pray for him." And they'll go through and pray. And they got to room 3. And showed up down at the meeting room and looked white as a sheet, all 4 of them. And Ezra was one of these guys that was with them. And I'm looking at these guys and they're like, "Randy, you won't believe what happened." "Like, what happened?" And Ezra said, "Something punched me in the stomach." Another guy said, "I buckled, my knees buckled, and I fell to my knees." These are 4 big, strong men. Okay? And they're not, none of them are like tall tale tellers. You know, they're sharp guys. And one guy said, "I had to sit on the bunk. I started feeling sick in my stomach." And they're like, "What do we do?" And so I was like, "Well, let's go back up there." And so we went up there. I smelled it. There was this smell, this kind of stench in there. And so I sat down and we just brought the kingdom of Jesus Christ over that room. In the name and authority of Jesus, we call forth the kingdom of God right now in this place. You have no claim here. We bring the authority of Jesus Christ down in this place. We give it back to Jesus, whatever's here from the past. We break it right now. We sever it. We command it to go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it left. And the only difference between me and those guys is I read the verse that says we have authority. One thing for you to walk into a situation and go, "Would you please leave?" It's another thing for you to go sternly, strictly, "No! You have no place here. You get out." Okay? And it was gone. I mean, the smell left. It didn't smell there anymore. Isn't that wild? Any of you guys ever experienced any kind of the supernatural stuff? Somebody? You know, you guys are like afraid of it. "I don't want to be weird." Like, you know, it's not. It's the real deal. One of the gals in our church, she gave me permission, loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She's followed him all of her life, and she's just super sensitive to the Lord. But she went to massage training school, massage therapy school. And she was in this massage therapy class, and they brought in this specialist who was trained in manipulating people's choleric energy fields. And she was like watching this. She was like, "You know, I don't believe this stuff." And the guy could tell her like resistance. So he's like, "Okay, you get down on that." So he said, "I'm not going to touch you." And he started putting his hands over. And she said, "I felt this electric. I felt this energy break through me." And she was at our house, and she was telling me this. She said he could move people's body parts with just his hands over me. And I was like, "That's..." And she was like, she instantly, when I said that, like her countenance went from telling the story to almost like a little bit of a fear. And I just said, you know what, though? You don't have to worry about it. So all you have to do is just in out loud in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, I bring myself under his kingdom authority. I break anything. I bring the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. We're more about the blood in a minute. But I bring the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ between me and this guy's spiritual power. Because this teacher had the whole thing works based on authority. And this teacher had authority over her, right? He's the teacher. And when you place yourself under the authority of somebody who's infested with demons, you know, you are opening doors and giving permissions. And so, as I said that, and, you know, all you have to do is say in the name of Jesus Christ, and I started going through, she said, I feel sick in my stomach, and she started, her legs started wobbling. And I'm like, I know what we got here. So, you know, there are people in the house who said, let's go outside, and we sat down on a bench, and I just said, hey, can you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord right now to me? And she looked at me and just said, this is stupid. All I can think of is, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is just stupid. And she said it like four or five times to me. And this girl loves Jesus. And I'm like, would you mind if I prayed over you right now? Would you give me a holy prayer over you? And she, her face went, please. And I'm like, yes. So in the name and authority of Jesus, you know, this can't be here, and I command you to leave. I bring the cross of Jesus Christ. And something left. And she was just, and I said, what can you say to me? What do you say now? And she said, Jesus Christ. And just peace was there where it wasn't. Did that freak you out? You hear that story? That we don't always know. This stuff is like, it's like getting lice, you know. You know, you put somebody's hat on, and you might get their lice. You know, you don't know what your this it transfers. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying by that? It's like you might be hanging out with somebody, and they're saying stuff to you, and you're listening to what they're saying. And there might be stuff transferring that you don't realize are transferring. That's why if I ever meet with one of you, if I hang out with, you know, who can I pick on? Jonathan, you know, go for coffee when I'm driving away, you can bet I'm saying in the name of Jesus Christ, I bring myself under the authority of Jesus, I bring the cross of Jesus Christ between me and Jonathan, anything that's messing with Jonathan, I forbid it in me. I speak it out loud because... more on that in a second. When we speak, it does damage in the spiritual realm. Okay. Just one more thing about that gal with the story. She didn't know. The important thing that I want you to get from that story is she didn't know that she could bring the cross of Jesus Christ between her and this instructor. She didn't know that she could stand against it out loud and break it on her drive home. And so, because she didn't do anything about it, it got to be there until she did break it. Does that make sense? So that's the critical thing that we need to learn, is as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to stand in authority. You know, stand in authority, they get to have their way. They get to mess with you. And some of you might be going, I don't like to imagine that the world is really actually that. I don't want a world that out of control. Well, the reality is it's in control. You have control if you take control. It's not a world out of control, but if you don't do anything with it, right? It gets to win. Okay, so just another couple verses later, back to chapter 3, verse 27. Jesus is talking about, he starts instructing about Satan. Right? This is just out of the gate, the beginning of the book. Jesus starts instructing about Satan. If Satan opposes himself, he's divided, he cannot stand, his end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up, and then he can plunder the strong man's house. So Jesus, by way of telling that, starts to begin to say, this is my mission. My mission is to plunder. I like the way Luke puts it. Luke says that Jesus' words were a stronger man, until a stronger man comes along and he attacks and overpowers the strong man, then he can divide the spoils. our role, your role, Jesus' role, is to attack and overpower Satan and divide the spoils. And so last week we talked about the fact that Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth. And just a quick review of last week. Adam and Eve got dominion over the earth by God. God said, it's your rule, your authority. And Adam and Eve gave that dominion over to Satan. That's why we have Daniel 10. And why we have Jesus being offered the world by Satan in Matthew chapter 4. And that's why we have the book of Job and all that. So Satan has dominion, and then Jesus came to win it back. Jesus comes and wins back all authority and all dominion and all power from Satan, which is why the clicky thing isn't clicking. Hello? There we go. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth, this is post-death and resurrection, post-cross, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. So Jesus has the authority, still not working. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by what? What's the effective tool that triumphed over them? The blood and the cross of Jesus Christ. That's important to remember. That's why I talk about bringing the cross, bringing the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, that power, God's power, is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that he'd be given, not only in this present age, but implication in the age to come. So Jesus has been given that authority, and he gave it to you. He gave it to you. Is it just not working? Not working. Batteries are on. Oh. Nope, battery dead. Alright, I'm going to do this flashy thing. So, I love Men in Black, so. yeah. Jesus disarmed them. So, Matthew 28. Okay, all authority's been given me. He disarmed them, in Colossians 2. But there are still strong men that Satan has deployed over countries, cities, homes. Those strong men are still there. They're just disarmed strong men. Okay? And their only power now are the lies that they can get us to swallow and the agreements they can get us to sign. And then Jesus gives his authority to you. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome most of the power of the evil one. You can overcome the little demons, the little pipsqueak ones. Even the big ones? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? All the power of the evil one. Nothing will harm you. What are you afraid of? You afraid of that thing that shows up at your bedside at night? Some weird presence? Why? Didn't you ever experience that? Middle of the night, between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning, weird thing in your room? Yeah. finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, there was some girl following Paul, calling out after Paul, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command, who commanded? Paul did, you, to come out of her. He's wielding the authority. At that moment, the Spirit left her. You have to wield the authority. And then, 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What are the weapons that you have? All right. Now's the best part of the talk, okay? This is the part I've been waiting for the whole morning, okay? I want to talk to you about your weapons now. And Revelation 12, they overcame them. This is you. You're the they. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So there is a, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. there is a fearlessness here in the followers of Jesus Christ that they need to find, which sort of it is overarching this whole thing. And there's two weapons. One is the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, Colossians 2 says, he has been absolutely disarmed. So it's like you're going to attack a town held by Nazis. Okay? But the Nazis have been disarmed. And you're coming in with tanks and armored personnel carriers. And all the Nazis can do is stand on the streets and go, "We're going to get you! We're going to mess you up! No, we're going to really mess you up." That's all they got. And you have the weapons that God has given you. The blood disarms, the word of your testimony, which we're going to get to in a second. Now, if you walk up to a bunch of Nazis on the side of the street and you say, you don't pull out your weapon, and you just stand there, and you go, "Guys, you know, they could jump on it and beat you up." But if you keep your weapons out, then there could be a whole lot of them alongside the road, and you can, you know, move along. Right? That's the picture here. The word of your testimony. This is the part I'm looking forward to. Your words do so much to bring the kingdom of God wherever you go. We create with our mouths just like God does. Okay? If you weren't paying attention to anything, please pay attention now. Your words create either for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. So for instance, "On this rock I will build my church," Jesus said, "and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Literally means to be able to stand against it. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heavenlies, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the heavenlies." How do you bind and loose? You create just like he did. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You create with your mouth. What you speak out into the heaven, into this world, into the seen realm. In the unseen realm, lightning bolts go out. You either create for... Well, the tongue has the power of life and death. What you speak will bring life or death. Do you remember the story? We're going to turn there because we're out of time. But Genesis 27, where Jacob comes to Isaac and he steals Esau's blessing. Remember that? He like dresses up like him. He puts the skins on him. And he comes in. And remember what Isaac says when Esau shows up? And he's like, "Here's the food, father." And he's like, he says his father was quaking. You know, and he realizes your brother came and he stole your blessing. And what does Esau say? He says, "Well, is that all the only blessing you have? Don't you have one for me too?" And he says, "What can I do for you, son? I've already made him ruler over you. I've already made him triumph over his enemies, and I've already made him wealthy. What can I do for you?" Wait a second. How had Isaac made him wealthy and ruler? What did Isaac understand about the power to create with his mouth that we don't? See, because Isaac was in authority, he's in an authority situation over Jacob and Esau, and he spoke words. And those words, God made count in the heavenlies. Those words, God endowed creative ability in the heavenlies, and so everything that Isaac said, Jacob, being true. What if that's true of you? What if you have that kind of power and you can create with your mouth for the kingdom of God? Yeah. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Our family has gotten back into this game called Nerds. You ever play Nerds? It's a card game. It's like a bunch of people stand around a table and they play a whole bunch of different solitaire games at once. And it's a speed game. And I haven't played it since college. And so, I'm playing this game with my kids, and they're going like this. They're going, They're over here going, moving. They got to get rid of their pile of cards. I got to get rid of my pile of cards. So it's like, and then I go. You know, and I start saying out loud, I am so slow. I remember hating this game when I was in college, and I hate it now. This is a stupid game, and I'm literally out of my mouth is coming the kingdom of darkness and creating, and it filled the room. You ever create from the kingdom of darkness? What comes out of your mouth? Life or death? You are a powerful being. You've been given authority to take back territory from the enemy. And you do it by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You invoke the blood of Jesus Christ and you remind them, no, Jesus' blood means you have no claim here. I command you to go. Sometimes they have to be reminded. They're rebellious, twisted, freaked out beings. Right? They don't move along. It's a little bit like, could be sometimes like herding livestock. But you create. Jesus said, what makes a man unclean is not what he puts in his mouth, but what comes out. Right? You walk into a work situation, a school situation, a couple of coworkers or students that are spewing out death. You ever go to work and somebody's spewing out death? Right? You can bring the kingdom of God into it. And you can do that kind of on the sly. You can do that. Boy, you can just pray for them. Kind of be nice, you know. You know. Or you can be a little more aggressive and forceful. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Are we supposed to be forceful men? Are we supposed to be forceful women? Is that what God's after? Yeah. So you might even be a little more aggressive and at work, or some of you might even say out loud, hey, you know what, I pray on my commute. I run out of things to pray for. Is there anything I could be praying for you? Now, I wouldn't do it right after being jerks. Is there anything I could pray for you? You know, but just, you know, in love, you know. And you might hear me say that, and you might go, boy, that's not my style. I'm more laid back, quiet kind of person. I'm not doing that. And I would want to ask you this then. Could it be that Satan has already helped you set a style or a posture that renders you ineffective bringing the kingdom of God? I don't care about your style. Bring the kingdom. Don't live based on the fear of man. Use your mouth. Speak the kingdom. We create with our words, and God has left the bringing of the kingdom up to us. And if we don't bring the kingdom into a situation, then likely it won't. If you don't bring the kingdom, likely it won't. God posted you there. And so if you don't pull the trigger and speak words, then it probably won't get pulled. I don't think God has a plan B. And so, and I'm pretty sure we're never going to invade the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of God without ruffling feathers. So let me pray. We're really late. Sorry, but wanted to cover this. So, Jesus, you made us very powerful creatures, and we need your guidance. We need to walk with you. We need to walk in holiness, Jesus, to bring your kingdom, your authority. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us how you've created us to bring your kingdom into the kingdom of darkness. So I pray that you begin to show us each day what we're allowing to dwell, what paradigms, what lines of thinking that we're allowing to live inside of us. And Lord, give us the strength and the authority to shut those things down. And Jesus, time for the offering as we leave, I pray that you would bless these gifts people give to you as an act of worship. Lord, pray that you would create the kingdom of God on this earth. Invade the kingdom of darkness through these gifts. And Lord, raise up your army of people who go out and bring the kingdom to their word, to their words, to their spoken words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the snow. You might have to slide down the hill now. Hi.